Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers give out so many A's you'd think I was my physics teacher in high school who was completely checked out. I am one half of the show, writer, author, a rad kid from Hazlitt, a flirty New Jerseyan, and the heavenly dude from the 732, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hold on. I need to appreciate that intro. I think it was really, really good.
Okay. Thank you.
And we rarely get to yours because we so frequently concentrate on mine because it was last.
Uh-huh.
A heavenly dude from the 732?
Yeah. 732 is my hometown area code.
Oh, I love that.
Thanks, man.
Are you sure you're okay giving away that prefix?
Yeah, I don't live there anymore.
Okay. All right, well, hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie.
I also said, sorry to go back to me, but I also said rad kid from Hazlitt. So 732, some sleuths out there could could pin that down to like a region of New Jersey, but our sharper listeners could probably just say, oh, Hazlitt, that town.
Yeah, right.
All right, but go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie, and I know, I get it. It's pronounced kind of screwy. Look, I wouldn't correct you if you said Bowie or Bowie. It's just something I live with, like Taya Leone. I grew up near Aspen for all my ZG heads. Back when Durango to Loveland, I'll use the same prefix. Now I write for the TV, and may you can see me in the opening credits of American DAD featuring Chicago Bulls number 33. Yes, the same one from the infamous Dynasty. And yes, every day I say, I think, gee, how lucky can one boy be from the 303?
You know what you are?
What?
You're a son of a bitch. This is humiliating. I'm so unhappy.
I sandbagged you.
You sandbagged me. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Thanks to Feels for supporting our show. Feels can have you feeling your best every day. Become a member today by going to feels.com/QQ and you'll get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping.
Thanks to our new brand, Honey. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ. Well, we're going to get into this stupid show that I hate. We actually have a guest again, but before we do that, Soren, I have a story.
Yes.
I got something for you. Before we get into our incredible guest, I went for a run. You and I have both been trying to run more recently. I've been trying to do about 15 to 20 miles a week, and I was out running on the boardwalk, and a cute woman passed me, but then didn't zoom on or anything. We just kept pace together with her a few feet in front of me, but us at like the same speed. Like if you were a stranger, you'd think, oh, those two are running the boardwalk together at sunset. Goals. That's what you'd think, because that's because I too thought goals. And then I fucking smoked her.
Yeah, good.
And I'm not even trying to, like, big time or anything. There was definitely a voice in my head that was like, see where this goes. Run for a while. Maybe you can strike up a conversation after. And then a louder voice in my head was like, if you got time to flirt, you got time to hurt. And I turned on the jets and just fucking cooked her goddamn ass, man.
I love that. I think that's the right impulse.
Is it
circumstance? So like how long were you kind of like treading water together?
Yeah, I mean, well just for probably a minute and a half, and it's nobody's fault that she happened to join me at the part of my run that was like the end of my warm-up mile.
Ah, okay. So you had to turn on the gas.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to leave her in my dust or anything like that. It just so happened that circumstances forced my hand that way.
Oh, so I would have the minute if I'm running and somebody else happens to be there next to me, immediately it's a competition. There is no acknowledgement of maybe I could be friends with this person or anything like that. It's like, motherfucker, going the same speed as me. Who does this person think they are? And then I will just run as fast as I can. If I'm passed, it's humiliating.
Yes. I was also on a run today and I was passed by someone. And because the ego is the way that it is, I thought, well, yeah, the wind is more in your favor back there, like pointing to behind me, a place where I just come from, like just trying to justify why this person was faster than me.
That asshole was drafting.
Yeah. But let's introduce our guest to see if she has any thoughts. If you're a fan of this show, you know this person already. She is a writer, producer, performer, podcaster, great friend, Ladies and gentlemen, Katie Stolhouse Stoll.
Hi! Hi, guys!
Hello!
It's always so fun sitting silently at the start of a podcast and just like biting your tongue and trying not to giggle into the microphone. But now I've been let out of my cage. Such
yeah, you never
thrill.
Really know. You never know what the etiquette is. You don't know if you're allowed to do the chuckle at the beginning or not.
I can't help it. I just have to turn away.
And we threw so much at you, too. There was a lot to either to in the beginning when we're navel-gazing and just like and just Walt Whitman style writing poems about ourselves and how great the sun feels on our nutsacks or whatever he wrote about. And you just have to like just sit there and let us.
And just let you. But it's your time to shine. Soren, did you end yours by also calling out your zip code?
Yeah.
Okay. So you put him on blast and then did the same thing. Cool.
Yep. Yeah. Dan had mentioned beforehand, text me like, just so you know, like, I don't know if you want to prepare an intro this time because I'm going to be doing a little rhyme with my prefix. And I was like,
all right,
well then let's really do it.
Yeah.
Dan, I also had a thought about your little story. Not little, I don't mean to disparage it. Nice story. I was on a walk with my boyfriend and we came up behind keeping pace with a woman. And he was like, you know what? Hold on. Hold me back. Let's just let her get ahead a little ways. And I was like, no, okay. It's fine. I don't, you know. And he said that for a long time, he's been hyper aware of every time he is behind a woman wanting to really give her their space. And it's something that I appreciate. I think that's really thoughtful, but it never occurred to me that that's a thing that a man might have to think about. But of course it does, you know, especially in our society and culture and all these conversations that we've been having that, it's intimidating sometimes. Not that you weren't, well, you were, Dan, you left her in your dust.
Yeah, absolutely.
like she even you're welcome.
Even if she was, if she wasn't scared of me before, then certainly she is now. But that is a thought. Rarely when I'm running, because that's just a
different
circumstance. But like certainly as I'm walking, I've become very aware of that, which was a real a shift for me, because it's not I don't cut an imposing figure in a lineup, I don't think. But just by virtue of the fact of being a guy in the present, that adds a certain level of terror. Regardless of what I know about myself. And like I can't, if I think someone in front of me is uneasy, I can't be like, no, ask my friends. You can steal from me if you want.
It would make it worse, much worse. I'm non-threatening, just in case you didn't know.
I don't think she heard me. I'm going to get closer. Hey!
Tap on her shoulder, make her take her earbuds out.
What you listening to? Anyway, I want you to know I will not hurt you.
I will not be a bother.
In fact, I could protect you if anything. Look, I will follow you home to make sure that none of the bad guys do get you.
Yeah.
We're going to get into our show where we ask each other questions and we give each other answers. We wanted to check in with you first, though, Katie. This is something that we've talked about before. Do you have any COVID habits that you've acquired over the last year that you hope to carry forward when all this nonsense is over?
I was thinking about this, and I have a range of answers that are serious and dumb.
Hell yeah. Oh, this like is perfect.
How personal should I get here? I'll do a middling one,
okay.
Which is I am a very positive person, I think, inherently positive. I'm also a very anxious person. And historically in my life, I have soothed myself with my positivity. Like, the thing that I'm worrying about, it'll be okay. This year has done serious damage to that. And I'm like, I laugh about it, but I had this like very serious epiphany the other day of like, I hope I can work through some of this, because it's not just on a global scale of like, oh, the pandemic won't be that bad. Oh, wait, it is. It's everything that you could possibly fear out of a pandemic. In the last year, it was like, all right, my dog got sick and dogs throw up. And there's days where you're like, okay, it's not a big deal. He's going to let this out of his system. Oh, no, he was hospitalized. It was bad. You know, my car, someone hit my car and I'm like, okay, this isn't so bad. I'll get this back in a few weeks. No, it was totaled. And then it took 4 or 5 months to sort out, you know, like thing after thing just started becoming like, oh, well, And I think that's good. I think it's good to have some realism. This is kind of depressing, Cher. But I think that that's something that might stick around. Like, I'm a little bit more cautious. I hope to still keep, I still am an optimistic person, mm-hmm. but I have this voice in me that's like, well, no, the worst case scenario could possibly be true. So make sure you dot all your I's and cross the T's here, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Whatever you think the worst case scenario is, there are far worse things that could happen you hadn't even thought of yet.
Yeah.
And you do it all with a pandemic as well. You never even knew this was possible.
Yeah. So I've learned a lot about life's possibilities. I've also taken up mug cakes. Now, a lot of people started baking for real, and a lot of people started learning how to perfect their banana bread recipe. I have gotten very good at mixing up a little chocolate cake mm-hmm. or some other kind of cake and microwaving it for 45 seconds and enjoying it because it's good enough and it's less of a cleanup. Love this new habit.
Is that, you said mug cake.
Mug cakes, yeah.
Have you heard of this deal?
Like, okay, you take like 3 tablespoons of your flour, some baking powder, some oil. There are egg recipes with it or eggless if you want. Mm-hmm. You can use all cacao? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cocoa powder. What's the proper way to pronounce it? I don't know.
Yeah, cocoa powder.
Anyway, for example, you mix it all up, put it in the microwave in your mug. You hit 45 seconds and you've got a little cake.
And I'm sorry,
it's wonderful.
That sounds like a real treat.
So there are 2 answers for you.
I like it. Soren's thinking about it. I've
seen the mug cake. I've seen it before. I've never tried it, and I'm very curious. Is it really chewy?
It depends. You can mess up this mixture for sure, but I've had some good recipes. Look, I'm not saying that this is a fancy cake that I'm proud of, but it serves my purposes.
It sounds...
Yes. No, I totally get the indulgence of it.
Yeah.
And I tried to take up baking like everybody else did, and I failed. I was bad at it.
Well, baking sucks.
And baking sucks. I mean, I love the end result. So this is a little shortcut and a way to treat myself in a pinch.
That sounds like exactly what I want most nights. Because I can't just make myself a birthday cake. Even if I was successfully good at baking, I can't just, like, the visual of me home alone in my mid-30s making a birthday cake, even if I'm, like, mentally justifying it, was like, well, it can be a nighttime treat or breakfast. It's still too sad for me to cotton. But the idea that I could have like a one hitter of cake, that's up my alley. That's the ticket.
I mean, I really highly recommend it.
We ordered from Costco recently, and it came. I wasn't privy to the order before it came, and I opened the door, and there's a 40 pack of drumsticks, ice cream drumsticks.
Oh.
40. Enough to start my own ice cream truck.
Do you have multiple refrigerators, freezers?
No.
Where do you keep 40 of them?
Good question, Katie. I had to take all my ice packs, anything that didn't have to be in the freezer, I had to take out so that we could fit all these drumsticks in
there. And did you not have any other frozen items that you have to store?
I do. And it was a game of Tetris.
Yeah.
And it was tough to get it all in. And like, I was so mad at the moment because I was like, why do we need so much ice cream? My wife was like, I don't know. I just wanted it. And then I felt bad.
Okay.
Because I was like, yeah, I get it. I can't wait. Like, we should just have some ice cream every once in a while. It'd be great.
Or for 40 days straight.
Yeah. Every single day.
It's like that Ted Cruz story or Heidi Cruz when
it's the best.
They were first married. They got back from their honeymoon and Ted immediately went to the store by himself and came back with 100 cans of Campbell's Chunky Soup. 100 cans of it.
100
and they had
is too much of anything.
Of anything.
What a lunatic. Wait, how did
At
you
least your
find
wife only
cans?
Got 40. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And it's also, your wife didn't spring that on you on your, like, when you get back from your honeymoon, as you're about to start your life together.
Right.
She didn't realize, she didn't reveal, like, by the way, I've been weird this whole time.
Right. I hoard soup.
Right. No, COVID has made... our relationship reveals some unique and surprising things about each of us. We're like, I'll come to her and I'll be like, oh, by the way, I ordered a jumping castle. She's like, oh, all right.
See, I don't find that surprising from you, personally.
Listen, do you have stress? Do you have anxiety or chronic pain? Or do you have trouble sleeping? It could be related to a lot of things, but why not try the very easiest thing you can do first to solve it? I mean, you're not alone out there. A lot of us have these things. That's why we use Feels. Feels is a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. It naturally helps you reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. You just place a few drops under your tongue and you'll feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding the right dose is important, and everyone's dose can be completely different. So leave room to experiment over the course of a week or so. You may need to take more, you may need to take less to get the effects that you're after. Are you new to CBD? Don't be scared. Feels offers a free CBD hotline and text message support to help guide your personal experience. It works naturally to help you feel better, and there's no high, hangover, or addiction. So join the Feels community today to get Feels delivered to your house once a month. I guess apartment too. Whatever you, hovel, yurt. I don't know what you live in. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Feels can have you feeling your best every day. Become a member today by going to feels.com/QQ and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/QQ to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off of your first order with free shipping. Feels.com/QQ.
Soren, do you have any quick questions for Katie, or do you want me to ask my quick question?
I do, okay. Yeah, actually. Katie, do you still have headshots?
I don't have any recent ones, but I do still have some headshots.
Yeah, I'm fascinated by headshots because I also at one point was like, I'm going to be an actor and that's going to be my life. And was very serious about it. Got my headshots, would get them updated like every 2 years. And there's a real process to getting headshots and like which ones you choose. And I just, I need to know, like you probably have 3 or 4, right? Or that you use? Or you that you would use?
I assume that I do still. I haven't looked at them in a while. But yeah, I do. You pick out a few from each shoot, and then your agent picks one or two that they like, and you have to print them up and everything. And
one for you, one for them. Now, I'm curious, like, what was the story of yours? Like, what were you hoping that they conveyed your headshots? Because I can tell you with mine, I had like a bad boy one. I wore a jacket with the collar flipped. It was a little bit darker, moodier lighting. My hair was doing a new thing, and I was looking tough. My eyes said, wrong side of the tracks, boy.
I think I've seen this headshot of yours specifically.
He hands it out to everyone when he needs them.
Yes. It's a birthday present I like to give people, signed headshots of myself. And then I also had one that was a just like, hey, I do jokes. I'm a fun guy. Where you're just like laughing, like, I don't take myself too seriously. And then you have one that's in the middle that's like I'm the quintessential white male lead. And those are the hardest ones to nail down because you have to get, your clothing cannot draw the eye at all. It has to be the most innocuous clothing possible. You can't smile, fuck a smile. And that, you have to have something in your eyes that conveys like pathos, but also like, maybe a little bit of danger. And it's not an easy look.
A really fine line to dance.
Yeah.
I think the pressure's on a female headshot are maybe a little different.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
I never did costume ones. So that's a whole other thing, especially for actors that want to work in commercials. There's, or at least there used to be a lot of pressure of like, throw on a lab coat for one of yours. Like, let's get your cowboy buckle on for another one. And you try all these different things and you just feel like, oh. And they used to do those like comp cards or whatever they're called where you had like, here's me baking, here's me this. But for me, it was always just trying to be the quirky, you know, manic pixie dream girl kind of vibe. And not always, but I think that the majority of mine, at least in my 20s, that was, you know, and that's what sucks is like for the conversation is what's the most marketable way to present yourself? And then you're just fitting yourself into some idea of what people want instead of trying to be authentic.
Yeah.
And the truth is that when I'm authentic in photos, they're really bad. They just are. I'm awkward. I don't know how to. I wish I just tried to chat. I wanted to send you a picture of my first headshot, which is so embarrassing, but I can't figure out. Yeah, I'll email it to you guys.
Did you think that's what was stopping her, Soren? I wanted to send this. Just email it. Oh my God, thank you.
You're absolutely right. I have one of those.
Images are still being uploaded. All right, it'll take a second. Okay. But I look so old. I look so old, and I don't know what I was thinking. I guess my face doesn't look that old, but I'm dressed like a middle-aged woman. And that was a real problem for the first start of my career, is that I dressed like my mom. Yeah. She helped me pick out clothes a lot. Yes, you look great with this scarf draped around your neck. You should have that email soon. It was always a really stressful part of being an actor.
It was awful. Also, you have to choose a font for your name on the front.
You have to choose a font.
And do you remember what font you used for yours?
So this one is, I believe, just a classic Times. I didn't want to be anything too showy. I do remember wanting it to be not too bold looking. I don't know why. Don't want to take up that space. Yeah. I never would do. Some people choose all caps. I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, I got it. Okay. This is like the most humiliating thing about mine, I think. Oh yeah, there it is. Okay, this is a very innocuous font. It's nice. And you are a 30-year-old divorcee.
a 21 years old and a 30-year-old body. Yep. It's bad. It's on my fridge now.
I would cast you in like Caroline in the City in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I believe I got that before. I did get work, though.
Absolutely.
So,
here's the thing that I'm curious about both of you, and it's also probably the main reason that I never became a successful, famous actor. do you, when you're going over your headshots, you have to... are you thinking about, like, sexiness? Like, do I look hot in these pictures? Because...
I could find some of those for you too.
Right, that's the thing
they're very embarrassing.
It seems embarrassing to like pose sexy, and B, the idea of because I know I've had friends that get headshots and then will like present them to other friends to be like, which one do you like? So the act of like presenting what you think is your sexy face to someone else for many of us is a very humbling ordeal.
Painful.
And the closest I have to experience with that, because I never had professional headshots, was in the early days of Cracked, this website that used to exist. I would put pictures of myself, I would work them into articles all the time, just get like mm-hmm. myself out there. And I would do like tiny photo shoots with my digital camera to Photoshop myself into different scenarios. And there was one where I was doing a mock-up of a fake cookbook. And I had a couple of different versions of myself as the chef in it. And I sent two different ones to my boss, a very nice man, Jack O'Brien, friend of the show, I assume. And like he had no reason to think anything other than like, which of these do you think is funnier? Because we worked at a comedy website and I was a comedy writer. But I handed him two pictures and he was like, yeah, this one on the left, this one with you like microwaving a lobster in the kitchen. And I was like, okay. And he could tell that I was like, that there was something holding me back. And he looked at the other one. And he was like, why? What do you think? You look hot in this one? I like, yes, I did. But I never would again.
That's really funny.
Yeah, you're trying to convey a certain sexual nature in each one of them, I think. Even like comedy one, like you're not going to go full, I don't give a shit.
No.
You're going to be like, look how effortlessly I am beautiful.
You can be funny and look good.
Yeah.
It can be both.
So I'm told.
Katie, I used Papyrus font.
Papyrus. You know, I believe I used Papyrus on some of them.
And it's, I mean, at the time I was like, this font rules. And now I look back on it, I'm like, this is the most offensive font. This is worse than Comic Sans.
Now I forgot, but you are really into fonts, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that about you. I remember you downloading fonts or something.
Yeah, I had there was a noir one that I had been looking for a long time. I finally found it. I got very excited and told everyone.
Yeah, the fonts were always like a stressful part for me, but I didn't think too much. I didn't want to overthink it.
I don't yeah. love, I'm looking at your headshot now. Your font is great, very professional.
Old headshot.
Old headshot, sure. you look great. I don't love the font that your agency told.
Oh, yeah.
Chose, now, the Daniel Hoff agency.
Now that's kind of Comic Sansy, isn't it?
I think it's Tahoma, which Tahoma. Is like a cousin of Comic Sans.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not great at all, especially yours is so classic and professional. And then over here is like, and we got some wacky guys too.
Yeah. Yeah. But thank you, Daniel Hoff, for being my first agency in this town. Got me my SAG card.
Hey.
There's also, Dan, you may not know this, but for headshots for a long time, and maybe this is like predates Katie even, headshots had to be 8x10. Mm-hmm. So when you put your resume on the back, obviously a sheet of paper ordinarily is bigger than that.
Yeah.
It's 8.5x11. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you, if you didn't have like a big thing at home where you could like cut them all down, you would just do it with scissors
yep.
every single time. For every single headshot, you would sit there for a very long time, staple them on the back, and then just cut off the edges, spending hours just like getting a headshot ready.
I can't tell you how many times I accidentally sliced the headshot. Or, you know, then you're out of staples, so I'm like, ooh, will tape work? And you're like...
Yeah. It's just like this special little extra indignity for actors of like, and now I want you to cut this smaller.
And the stress like, of not having... Like, there are times you have an audition, you don't have one. Which is silly. Everything's online.
Yeah.
You see it on a click. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm glad that I could commiserate with you on that, Katie, because it was... Headshots were always such a nightmare for me. It was like you... You have just a stack of pictures of yourself in your house at all times, your apartment.
I keep finding them, old ones, places, and you're like, oh, these, I used these. But I have been very grateful in the last few years. I love acting, but I've focused on that way less because of all the other stuff that Cody and I are doing with Some More News and Worst Year Ever and all of that. And it's been such a relief in so many ways. I miss... acting, I still would love to do it and will audition every so often, but I do not miss all of the different trappings of being an actor, of needing to have this printed up, driving around town. Well, I guess this year you're not driving around for auditions anyway, but, and just the turmoil of it, but those goddamn headshots and needing to shell out for them. And every time you, if you're not working, your agent will immediately be like, well, maybe it's time we get new pictures. Fuck you, the pictures aren't doing it.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with me, obviously.
Is there some kind of connected racket with agents and headshot photographers?
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of agents will be like, here's our guy that we recommend.
And you've got to use them. Like, they'll be like, you have to.
Well, because you'd also don't, especially if you're at that kind of an agency, you're starting out or you're just really grateful to be working with somebody and you're willing to do whatever. And then it costs so much money, like $50 just to upload them onto the hosting websites. That's impossible.
Yeah, that's chump change compared to like you getting the headshots are very expensive. Then printing them, Dan, like $300.
Yeah.
Yikes. I say yikes. I'm always jealous of jerks who figured out how to make really easy money. They're so smart. They're just tricking people.
So smart.
They just got in early and figured out how to trick people. And it's not illegal to trick people. Ugh, jealous.
Yeah. But maybe I'll get headshots again soon. I don't know. I did look at, so people, every so often you get a request to like, can we have a headshot of some sort? And I can't send them that one, you know?
Right.
I mean, I think you should just be offer only at this point, Katie. In my opinion.
Absolutely. You've surpassed headshot.
Oh, love this. I hope everybody listening takes this to heart and sends me a lot of offers.
Yeah. Our listenership is, I think, I can send you the breakdown afterwards, but it's about 60-40 split directors and casting directors.
Perfect.
So one of them will reach out to you, I'm sure.
Love this. I'm so excited for my new career after this.
Look, we all shop online, and we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout, and we've all listened to a bunch of podcasts where they've thrown out promo codes that you forgot to write down. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. Imagine it. You're shopping on one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. You wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site, and if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. Personally, Honey has saved me money on tech gadgets. I'm always buying tech gadgets, and I used Honey to get the best deals on them. Thanks to Honey, I saved $15 on a tech product. I don't want to say exactly what it is because it's personal, but it worked. Thanks, Honey. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. Guys, I got some quick questions.
Yes.
Or it's probably not quick, and it might not even be a question, but I was thinking about, did either of you see I Care a Lot on Netflix?
Mm-mm.
You don't need to. No. I mean, it's a fine movie, but there's a scene in it that I've seen 1,000 times in movies before, and I'll explain it very briefly. Peter Dinklage is the mafia boss, and he is talking to a goon of his who has upset him. And he is flanked by another goon who has so far not upset him. And the first goon is very apologetic. He's like, I'm sorry, boss, I made a mistake. I swear I'm gonna make it right. And the boss is very angry. And he turns to goon number two. And goon number two reaches into the car. And like, what's he gonna get? Oh, he produces a box. What's in the box? He opens the box. It's a donut. He hands it to the boss. The boss eats the donut. That's what he wanted. He wanted the donut. But then Peter Dinklage looks to the goon again, and the goon produces a gun this time and points it at the first goon and then hands the gun to Peter Dinklage, and Peter Dinklage points the gun. And it's all, it's a very intimidating, well-choreographed bit of threatening business. And it all takes place without a single word being uttered between the mafia boss and the good goon. And I've seen it a bunch of times where a boss will like turn to an underling and wordlessly nod, and the underling knows the thing to get. Sometimes it's a gun, sometimes yes. It's like, and then I take out the briefcase full of money and I spin it around and open it. Or sometimes it's, I open the car door and the hostage comes out. It's always a thing that happens without any kind of audible signal. And my quick question is did they either practice it, A, like really with Peter Dinklage being like, you know, if I look at you like this, like with my eyes like this, like I really want something, then like get me a donut, but make it look scary. Like make the audience not sure what you're doing. But then if I look at you like this and I tilt my chin to the south, like tilt it southward, then get the gun. And if I wink, hand me the gun. If I don't, just point the gun. And they probably have a third wordless cue for shoot the guy.
Because there's so many more possibilities of things that might need to happen.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, once donut is introduced into the equation, that's everything. You've broken the floodgates at that point. Anything could be a possibility.
And so my guess, like my question is, either they practiced it and isn't that very funny, or do we think that goon number two is just amazingly good at his job?
He's really attuned to his boss.
Because that scenario is actually more, the first one is like whimsical and silly because it's like, it's a pitcher, a catcher, and a coach going over the different hand signals for different pitches and like learning all that trickery. And it's fun to imagine mafiosos doing that. It's whimsical. But the second scenario is more relatable to me. That's a goon who's just sort of like spent much of his gooning career on the sidelines watching what's going on. And then one day was probably like, you know, I think our boss really likes like a show. He likes to make a show of things. He likes to seem intimidating. I know what he wants. I know how to make this look the way he looks. He's going to be really happy with me. I'm going to do this donut thing that's like a little bit of added flair that he's really going to love. And my job is going to be to anticipate what he wants from just a look. I'm going to get so yeah. good at it that that's going to be like my job in the goon squad is being that guy.
What you're describing, Dan, is being a really good assistant.
I was going to say a body man, like a yes. the president's like aide.
It's a job that I bring it up just because I personally think I would be very good at that kind of job because it's I was never our old boss Jack's body man or anything like that, but I'd made a habit out of sending him like thorough emails that answer his questions before he has to bother himself asking them because he's the guy in charge. And like, let's say it's employee review time, that I'd be like, here's who you need to talk to, Jack. Here are my recommendations on their reviews. Here's where you need to be, when you need to be there. You didn't ask for this information, but here it is. And Jack was always very appreciative. Just like, yeah, good. Thanks. I did the same thing whenever we were planning like vacations with friends.
Right.
I'm just like, here's our itinerary. I've put it together. You don't have to think about it because I printed out copies and made it a little bit fun.
Sounds like this question's turned into a moment for you to tell us all how good you are at your job and being a friend.
Well, that's part of it. Part of it is I want you, I'm wondering if you guys think I would be a good goon.
I think you'd be a great goon.
Thank you.
Because I think in either of these scenarios, whether it be this is just a man that was hired because he's really intuitive and, you know, one step ahead, or it's because they choreographed it and perfected it. And I think that you would show up to both of those positions with a lot of enthusiasm and dedication to the job.
Thank you.
I think you do a good job.
I also think you would be a great goon, Daniel. I think you've got a lot of good emotional intelligence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you very important for gooning.
Yeah. You pick up on those cues because, you know, like goons get shot all the time because they slip up.
Yep.
They're like, they say the wrong thing to somebody and the lead guy turns around and he's like, what did you say? I don't know, boss. I was just telling him, like, you're the one in charge. Like, I was just letting him know, you know, because you're the one. And then that guy, he's dead.
Yeah,
that's true.
You see, you don't slip up like that. So I think you'd be great at it.
I also, that's very kind of you. But I do think in my gooning career, I would eventually be usurped by someone who was just passion and danger in the way that, like, it was laughable to us that parents used to be afraid of the band Kiss. So it was like, they were demons. They were knights in Satan's service, and they had this scary makeup and this pyro. That's all pageantry. It's not really scary. But then suddenly Eminem shows up, and he looks like your kid. He wears a white T-shirt, and he talks about murdering people and throwing them in trucks. And it's like, oh, that's scary. There's less pageantry to that. That's real fear. That's the goon that would usurp me. Is the guy
so
who's like
Kiss in this situation?
I'm Kiss. I'm absolutely Kiss. And my Eminem is just some younger goon who is like, what are you? You fucking get a donut? What did you practice this like a dance? You idiot! Just shoot the guy.
And it's like, yeah.
Well, that guy's more effectively right. intimidating than I am, even though I clearly put more work into it.
Yeah, I can see you being very good at the donut part. Not particularly good at the shooting guy's part.
Yeah. Have you shot a gun before?
I have at our friend Michael Swaim's bachelor party. We went to a gun range, which is incredibly off-brand for everyone who was involved in that bachelor party.
Yeah, that's a surprise.
Everything else everything else about his bachelor party made complete sense for everyone involved. We went to San Diego. We went to a very nice Indian restaurant that he loved. We got a house on the beach. We drank and got cigars. Even that's a little strange for this party. But then we watched movies. We just like watched movies.
See, there it is.
And talked and like sat on the beach at night and talked about life and looked at the moon and shit.
That's very Michael.
But before that, we got in a limo and went to a gun range and fired guns.
It sounds like a great adventure.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. I mean, the rest of it. Guns scare. I fired a gun once, and I dropped it and cried. I was like in the middle of a field. I was in my early 20s. My boyfriend at the time was from Washington. We were visiting his family. And he was like, you want to shoot some stuff? And I had a shotgun. It's too much.
Yeah. It was a shotgun?
That's a...
Yeah.
Holy yes. Hannah.
I'm like, am I misremembering? Because I do have a bad memory. But no, I'm pretty sure it was a shotgun. I remember it. And I cried. So that was my end of my...
It's a very powerful thing. Yeah. Like it surprises you no matter what.
Yeah.
I took Greg and Lou, who are friends of ours, and used to do a lot of sketch comedy together. Greg and Lou, famous libertarian.
Yes, he is, isn't he?
I took them shooting once at a shooting range, and Lou had never shot a gun before. Lou fired the first shot and then very, very gently put the gun back down and was like, I'm done.
Oh, Lou! Libertarian Lou.
You know what else I learned about shooting guns that was very humbling is like, a thing they never show in the movies or TV shows is we had I think it's a Glock, where it's like a policeman's gun, and you have the clip, which is the thing that holds the bullets, physically, the spring inside the clip of a gun is so strong, it's very difficult to load those guns. You're just shoving bullet after bullet in there, and I'm like, God. A 20-something man fucking struggling and just being like, I think this gun is only going to have the 5 bullets in it. I don't think we're going to do the whole amount because I'm sweating.
I think mine's broken.
Am I allowed to use the table to put the bullets into the thing? Can I use
need some
gravity?
Leverage here.
It's not easy. And you pinch yourself a lot and you're like, ow, ow. The gun hurt me.
Yeah. It's not for me.
Did you, now, Soren?
Robert was, please. Sorry. No, you go. I was just going to say Robert was going to take, told me it was going to take me pre-pandemic, but then the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. Robert says hi, by the way.
Robert Evans? Yeah, it's not surprising to me that he said he was going to take you because there's not been a single thing in the world that Evans thought couldn't be solved by exposure to whatever.
Yeah. You just need to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think one time we were having drinks at Barney's Beanery and he was like, you should be around more death, Daniel. You'd be less scared of it. Like,
yeah, that is 100% a thing he would say. Okay.
Cool. I'll think about that the rest of the evening. Thank you.
Soren, you said very specifically that you took Greg and Lou shooting. Like, this was a thing that you made it seem like, at least, you have done before? Or did you just plan it?
It's a shooting range I had been to before. And I invited them to go because I thought it would be a fun thing for us to do. I don't like guns. I don't think guns should be legal. I think they're silly and dangerous. And I think shooting them is so much fun.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's really, really enjoyable to go shoot a gun. Yes. And so Sean Baby and I went when he was in town once. Mm. Adam Brown and I went. and I've taken Greg and Lou twice. Well, I took just Greg once. And
yeah, because Lou was spooked from that first time.
Sure. Right. he was gun shy, very literally.
I think it's such a fun and silly scoop for our listeners that, like, all of your favorite mid-early 2000s sketch comedians and writers were just, like, fucking shooting guns in fields. Every one of us.
We were like, what is that, a Desert Eagle? Let me see that one. Look at my grouping.
Katie Stoll firing shotguns in Washington.
And then sobbing.
Right, yep. Right.
Daniel, I don't think I would be a very good goon in that scenario because I like being told, like, explicitly what to do at all times. I don't want any room for miscommunication. I want to be micromanaged, basically. Yeah. Because if it comes up where, like, somebody nods at me, my first instinct is like, oh, what's up? Yeah. You want to engage right now? Seems like a bad time in front of this guy we're about to kill, but, like, yeah, you want to chop it up?
He nods and Soren goes, hi.
Hey.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, boss.
Oh, is now the time for the donut?
Boss, I don't want to undermine you, but whatever you got for me, we should do it later. That guy's really scared over there. I think that's more pressing.
Are we gonna kiss? What are we doing right now? Are you nodding at me?
I'd be bad because I cave under that kind of pressure. I think I'd get too nervous.
Yeah,
I could imagine me, like, fumbling with the briefcase. I'm sorry. Oh God! And the donut falls out. Pick it up. Dust it off.
You just hand him a tray with 6 things on it. Yeah. Be like, I don't remember which one was which, but just I'm sure one of these has to be right, right? Yeah.
But then I'd give him a really winning smile and try to disarm the situation.
Oh, that's fun. Who even remembers what we're mad at?
I think I'd be an okay goon in, like, a Charlie Chaplin comedy.
Yeah. Were there a lot of goons in Charlie Chaplin comedies?
I don't know. I just pictured myself in some physical comedy.
Yeah. Have you ever
type situation?
Why there were always guys chasing him with guns, shooting at him.
I think there might have been some goons in there.
Why am I picturing you as Charlie Chaplin? Did you dress up as him for a thing, or were you?
Well, I did a clown video.
That's right.
Forever ago with Milana Weintraub, who you guys might know as the girl, the AT&T spokeswoman,
Lily from AT&T.
Lily from AT&T. Yeah, we did a little. I took a clowning class, and then we started doing these little short black and white things, and I kind of dressed up. It kind of has that vibe.
Yeah, tramp vibes in it. Yeah. Tramp.
Oh, wait. I also did Charlie Chaplin for Halloween one year. You might just be thinking of that.
No, it's definitely the Le Bien video that you did with Milana. Because I love that video and I've watched it 1,000 times. It's very fun. I think I'm ready to start wrapping things up. Unless you have any more questions, Soren.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Oh, shoot. Oh, so Katie, at the end of the show, we like to promote the social accounts of the show and both of us as hosts and you as our wonderful, fantastic guest. But once again, I've lost them. So I'm going to track those down. It's no problem. Okay. I know where they are. I'm going to track them down. While I'm doing that, though, if you could just fill the time by just like vamping a little bit on a question. So a lot of people know you as obviously a performer and a writer and now a podcast host, but many people don't know just how influential you were to like the voice and the look and feel of Cracked videos, because you've been behind the scenes for so long of Muskets and then later Cracked when that became absorbed. And you had such a strong hand on casting, which really more than almost anything else has a huge impact on the face of the brand and what we're putting out in the world. It's such an underrated, essential, amazing aspect of this little endeavor that we all made together. And if people love what they saw, a lot of that is because of the work that you did that goes largely unpraised or has gone largely unpraised until right now. My question for you is not about that. It's fuck, marry, kill the boys of After Hours.
Fuck, marry, kill the boys of After Hours. Shit. All right. All right. All right. That's a lot of pressure, guys. Two of them are here. Or are we talking about new casts too?
No.
We're not. Okay.
Don't even know who they are.
Because that gets fuzzy for me in my own personal relationships. All right. Fuck, marry, kill.
Still
well,
tracking down these accounts.
God damn. I don't want to kill any of you. Soren is definitely the best husband material. I got to give Mary to Soren.
That's the best
now,
one.
Am I going to fuck you, Daniel, or am I going to kill you? That's so much pressure to have looking at you in the eye through a screen. You know what, Daniel? I'll fuck you and I'll kill Michael.
All right. Yeah! Thank you. I do think there is an objectively right answer to that question, and you didn't get it right, but you were still very sweet, and I appreciate that.
Is it supposed to be fuck Soren, marry Michael, and kill you? Because that'd be a lot.
I don't know.
Michael, I love. I think we might. No, you know what? Michael would be fun to marry.
I think it's marry Soren, fuck Michael, kill Daniel.
Oh, that's just your self-loathing.
No, I've thought about this more than most. Anyway, you can find Katie on Twitter at Katie Stoll. You can find Soren at Soren_LTD on Twitter. You can find me at DOB_INC. You can find the show on Twitter at twitter.com/QQ_Soren and Dan or Instagram by searching. You can find and hire our fantastic producer, editor, engineer, sweet guy, Gabe at GabeHarder.com. We also have a Patreon, and I have recently learned that if you pay money to the Patreon, you get special exclusive bonus episodes. So that's extra work on my plate.
Yeah, I'm just making some of those.
Katie, would you like to tell people beyond Twitter where people can find you and plug your fantastic shows?
Hell yeah, I'd like to. You already covered Twitter. Thank you. You can find me doing podcasts with Worst Year Ever on iHeartRadio. That's with Cody Johnston and Robert Evans. It was just supposed to be about the election, but then it was about so much more. And now we're still going with it. Same title. Some more news and even more news. Some more news is the YouTube show that started at Cracked, I guess. A different version of it, legally distinct, etc. that I run with Cody and our companion podcast, Even More News. If you just want to talk about news, but also have some laughs and jokes and stuff too, some interviews. Do that stuff. Oh, we also have a Patreon, but support this Patreon.
No, I don't. You do yours. Plug it.
All right. It's Some More News.
There we go. Cool,
those are cool. My things.
Thanks, Katie. Bye.
Yeah, bye.